to read from this morning. The first one is Psalm 67. In your pew Bible, about page 888. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you, and the land will yield its harvest, and God, O God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Then we go to Revelations, and this is a little bit tricky, but we start in verse 21, and or chapter 21, verse 10. Verse 10, and then we skip down to verse 22 and go to 22:5. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of the heavens from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. Now I've gone a little bit beyond where I was supposed to. But if we jump over to verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light and their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no light there. Okay, I'm still, I keep my going to chapter 22, okay. The glory of the honor of the nations will be brought unto it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. When the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not heed the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And then we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Chapter 14, beginning with chapter 23. Chapter 14, starting with verse 23 to 29. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All these I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. This is the word of God for the children of God.
Thanks be to God.
And at this point, I invite Pastor Joe to deliver the message to us today.
We better start by praying together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for how you bless us and how you comfort us and teach us and just keep us safe. And we can now know and rest assured in your loving arms. Guide us this morning as we study your word so that we might have a fuller understanding of your will for our lives and of our world today. So we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks, Jim. I thought maybe I'd get you confused when you were looking at the scriptures. It was a bit confusing. Bonnie even had a problem when she looked at this. What do you want them to read? But as I looked at that, and I got thinking about her, what we're going to talk about today, I titled this Moving Day. And I got thinking about how many times each of us have moved in our lives. And when I read Revelations, I got thinking, and one day, you know, we're all going to move again. And where's that going to be to? So with that in mind, I started writing my sermon. And I got thinking about a story I heard about an absent-minded professor. So this absent-minded professor, him and his wife, they went to church on Sunday morning, not too unlike this. And as they're coming out, the absent-minded professor, he looks at his wife, he says, you know what you did? You forgot your umbrella. But I got mine, and I got yours too, and I brought them out with us. Well, she looked at him and says, in case you forgot, hon, we didn't bring umbrellas this morning. They're not ours. You might want to take them back. He says, so on their way home, they're driving home from church. On their way home, says, now I don't want you to forget tomorrow morning when you leave to go to work, I want you to remember that when you come home at night, you don't come back. We're moving. He says, I know, I'll remember. So sure enough, he goes to work the next day, comes home from teaching school, and he arrives at his home, and nobody's there. The house is empty. And he's thinking, darn, she's right again. I'm going to have to admit to that. But then he's thinking, boy, I don't know where they went. He happens to see a little girl coming up the street, and he walks over. He says, little girl, you didn't happen to see where the people who left here were moved to, did you? Which direction they went? And the little girl looks at him and says, you know, Daddy, you better come with me. And she reaches out, Mommy sent me because she knew you'd forget. How much stuff do we forget on moving day? But moving is hectic, isn't it? I mean, you think about it. I think about all the stuff that you have in your house. Now, suppose you were going to move today. I thought about this. I'm looking at our house and I'm thinking, how much of this stuff would I cart away? maybe I just call a dumpster. And we just load it in that. But the more I thought about it, I thought, so Bonnie and I, come August, we've been married 49 years. We got brighter. We moved 5 times, I think, in our first 4 years. Of course, I was in the service, and we moved from here to there to everywhere. But in those first 5 years, we kind of developed a way of figuring out how to throw out the junk, get the junk out of our lives. In our scripture today, though, I want to read to, I don't know if you noticed in the Gospel of John, it says that God wants to talk about his moving day. So our gospel teaching, it talks about God's moving day. He said to experience God's movement in our lives, what did he say? He says, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him. Now listen carefully. And when we come to him, we will come to him and make our home with him. God wants to move in if we love him. That's what he promises to do. I want you to make sure you get this. So God wants to move in with you, and Jesus wants to take up residence in your home and in your life. So God wants to be a permanent part of your family. And when we do that, when he does that, we'll be able to sing with the psalmist, to pray with the psalmist. May God be gracious to us and bless us and keep us in all that we do. Isn't that what we read in Psalms? Isn't that what David was saying? What he wants to happen, and that's what will happen if you allow God to move in. The other part, the wonderful part of this thing is, so once God moves in, we have a new address to go to when we go from this life to the next. And that address is the holy city that we read about in Revelations. Because who's doing the moving? God's going to move in today so that you can move tomorrow. But there's certain things we have to be able to do, like anybody on moving day. So there's 3 sets of rules. Bonnie and I, we kind of figured out what the first one is. What the first rule is, we have to get prepared. Well, and how do we get prepared? You got to throw out the junk. So how would you prepare for God to move in? How would you throw out the junk? We do this in 3 key words. New set of keys, right? So what would these keys be? They'd be, first you have to prepare. The second key you might receive would be welcoming. And the third key would be honoring. What do I mean by this? Welcoming. So if you're going to be welcoming somebody into your new house, you have to get rid of the junk. So if you want to welcome them, what do? You have to make them space, don't you? You have to make them feel welcome. I thought about, how do you make people really feel welcome? So if you're going to prepare and you want to make God feel welcome in your life, what do you got to do? What's the trash you got to take out? How do you prepare for that? How do you prepare? First thing you have to do is get rid of the junk in your life. And what is that junk? So that junk is old guilts and shame, unconfessed sins. Isn't that trash in our lives that we don't want there when God comes in? We have to find a way to release all that. Maybe in some way because we hurt someone or someone has hurt us. Don't we have to get rid of that? Isn't that become trash when God moves in? We don't want that stuff there. We have to find a way to get rid of it. Maybe call the dumpster. Bring the dumpster in. I got quite a load in the dumpster today, right? Of this trash that I need to get rid of so that I can welcome God in. Because that's what welcoming is about. Think about it. So if we prepared, we got rid of the trash, how are we going to welcome them in? Well, anytime you welcome anybody in or if they're coming into your home, what do? You have to clean out the spare bedroom, right? Because they're going to come live with you. So imagine your parents came and lived with you. How many's had that experience? So You knew it was only temporary, though, didn't you? So did you really welcome them? When you cleaned out the room, you just made space for them? You know, maybe you cleaned out the closet a little bit, gave some space, put some clean sheets on the bed. Is that really welcoming? Doesn't that make it more like a motel room? It's not a permanent thing, is it? I mean, when God moves into our lives and we want God to move in, we have to make sure that he's welcome by knowing that we cleared everything out of that spare room so that he can bring his stuff in. We have to make room for him in our lives. And that's going to change a lot of things in our lives, isn't it? And not only going to welcome him in, it's not only going to change what the appearance of this room looks like or this house looks like. We have to be prepared for that, but it's also going to change how we are seen by others, isn't it? Because now I have God of all creation living with me. Think about that for a minute. God wants to make his home with you. But when I think about that, so it changes our relationships. I think some people aren't going to recognize that. I think of the story of this neighbor woman. She looks down the street and she sees a moving van and a couple at the end of the block. She sees them out in the yard. She thinks, I'm going to welcome them in. So what does she do? She goes, she bakes a pie. She takes this fresh cooked pie and she runs down to this home where this moving van's sitting out in front. She says, I live at the end of the block and I'd like to welcome you to our neighborhood. And she goes on about welcoming, and well, the husband and wife are out in the yard and they're kind of confused because movers are going in and out. And they look at one another, and finally the wife pipes up. She says, I'll tell her. She pipes up. She says, I don't want to offend you, and it's nice that you brought us a pie, but we're not moving in. We're moving out. There's some people that are welcoming, and we welcome into our lives. And then there are others who we just as soon not welcome in, isn't there? And too often, that's what happens. When I thought about this, and of course, this week we had our primary election days, and I hope all of you got out and took that opportunity to vote, because there's too many people that are giving our country a black eye. They're giving our church a black eye. Those are some of the people we welcome to leave. I hope you took the opportunity to do that so we can change that. But think about this. If you're going to welcome somebody in, we clear out all the junk. We honor them by making room and taking everything and let them have in control. So we can honor them. So we can appreciate them. Think about this. The sad truth is, when we come to church on every Sunday morning, I want you to consider this. Every time you come in this door, are you welcoming and honoring God? Do we come in, we sit down, and we kind of just give the head nod. We nod our head, say, yep, I agree with you, Pastor. I agree with you, Pastor. And yet what happens is we walk out the door and we go back to our normal lives. We don't take the time to prepare. We don't get rid of the junk in our lives. We don't take the time to welcome him in by making space for God in our lives, giving him free rein, do we? We don't honor him and respecting him. But what is it to really to honor somebody is to what? Is to obey what they teach you. Isn't that what Jesus was telling his disciples? If you want God to come and make his home in your home, if you want to be certain of the next place that you're going to go, and the next time you move, it's going to be to heaven, don't we need to welcome him in? Don't we need to prepare? Don't we need to obey him in all that we do? It's moving day. Are you ready to move? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for how you provide for us, but we especially thank you that you offered to come and to make your home with us. All we need to do is to love. And you touch hearts here today so they might know that you want to come and live with them. And it's your will to make your home their home. Father, bless us. Open our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, we do pray and thank you. Amen.